that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits.
So today we have something and someone very special. To all of our listeners, welcome the newest Chimwit, Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hi. Hello, everyone. It's nice to meet you all. I'm really excited to be on the team.
So what's going on, Tony? What do you think about this weather? It's crazy. It's like 60 degrees out and it's going to have a snowstorm tomorrow. What's with that?
I don't know. I need to get out of New York. That's what that means.
So if for our listeners who are wondering, if you haven't figured it out by now, Tony is a girl. She spells her name with an I, correct?
Yes.
With an I? Yeah. I make sure. So just to get that out of the way and just to clear the air. So Tony, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Tony Marinucci. I am a registered dietitian. I have a master's degree in nutrition and dietetics. And I pretty much have, since the age of like 14, taken on and absorbed every little bit of information about nutrition possible and applied it to my lifestyle. And through my career, I also decided to create my own blog. And I help people to develop and commit to a healthy lifestyle.
So what sparked your interest in health and nutrition?
Well, actually growing up, I was very overweight, but however, very athletic. And I played a lot of sports, but I felt that my weight was holding me back from my performance. And it was when I was in high school, as a sophomore, I had the opportunity to play on varsity sports, which usually is your junior year. You would do varsity, but on a skill level, I had it there. And I knew I was trying out for the teams, but I just felt that my weight, I was just slower. I couldn't run the mile in the time that they needed me to. And I don't know, I just felt like I needed to change the way that I was eating. Because, I, you know, as a teenager, all my friends would eat junk food and then we would stay up late and I wouldn't sleep well. And I'd go to practice in the morning and hate myself for like overeating the night before.
It's funny, the stuff that you can sort of get away with as a teenager. Although, you know what, I couldn't really get away with it much. I know there was other kids, they could just eat anything and they'd be rail stick right. thin. But that's just not the case for everyone.
No, it definitely wasn't the case for me. I grew up, if you couldn't tell, my last name's Marinucci, I'm Italian. I'm also Greek. I mean, if you ever watched my Big Fat Greek Wedding, like that's my family. So the food is just everywhere and large. It'd be like a Monday night and we're at my aunt's house for dinner. And then Tuesday, we're at my other aunt's house for dinner. Wednesday is my mom's house. And like, there's 20 of us for dinner on a weeknight, and their food is just all over the place. So if you didn't eat, are you sick? Like, no, I'm not sick, just not hungry. But you can never really give that answer. So it was definitely like, I love my family, you know, food is love. And I think a lot of people can relate to that culture.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I realized that it was hindering my performance and sports were really important to me. So I decided to start eating more fruits and vegetables and, you know, choosing lean proteins and, you know, watching my portion sizes, cutting back on the junk food. I mean, it definitely didn't do it overnight. It was a lot of, sure. you know, trial and error. And what I recognized was when I was making those changes, I was definitely performing better. You know, I was running faster. I was making my time during tryouts. I had more focus and more drive. But secondly, even my grades were better. I was paying better attention in school, in my classes. I was just more alert. And the best part that I think the reason why I do what I do is I was so happy. Like, I didn't know that I was unhappy until I realized like how happy you can be when you're eating right and taking care of your body and just overall just doing better in so many aspects of your life. And I was just like, wow, like, I need to share this with people. This is what I need to do. And then I realized, like, for a while I thought I wanted to be a teacher, but then I was like, oh, I can be a dietitian. Like, I can make this my career.
Which is a teacher of sorts.
Yeah, which I am a teacher, but I'm just teaching people how to, you know, eat healthy and eat right for either their goals or their body type.
So certainly, I'm sure I've done this, and I don't really even know the answer myself, and I'm sure you'll help enlighten me. But a lot of people confuse what a nutritionist and a registered dietitian is. Can you explain what the difference between those are?
Absolutely. So a nutritionist is not a protected title. So what that means is pretty much anyone can call themselves that. If you wanted to call yourself a nutritionist, you really could. You know, and being the knowledge that you guys have through people you've interviewed, being in the fitness industry, you understand certain parts about nutrition. And so therefore, you can help people and you can call yourself a nutritionist. Now, what it doesn't guarantee is also like Jim down the block who picked up a book and read it for 10 minutes can also call themselves a nutritionist. So it's one of those things that you don't really know. It's kind of a gamble.
Can I call myself a nutritionist if I know how to make you not eat healthy? Like, that's a certain type of nutrition, right? Like, well, if I like put you on like the pizza and ice cream diet.
I mean, I mean, how many times do you put on the TV and they'll say, you know, eat anything you want, never exercise and lose weight. And, you know, true. Nutritionist approved. Yeah. They can say that because it's not, nobody has licensure on that title, you know? However, a registered dietitian, it is a protected title. So no one can call themselves that. You have to go to school for that.
So what, and are there things that you can do as a dietitian that a nutritionist can't do?
Yes. So registered dietitians work with other medical professionals. We work with the doctors, we work with the nurses, and we can work in hospital or clinical settings, and we work with people who were diagnosed with a disease. So therefore, if they're taking medication, for diabetes, we'll help couple that with a healthy diet that will also control their blood sugars. So that's where a registered dietitian is able to work with other people in the medical profession.
And you need a master's degree for it to become a registered dietitian, correct?
You actually don't need your master's degree, but because it's so competitive, a lot of dietitians are doing that. So in order to be a registered dietitian, you go through a 4-year undergraduate degree program where you're learning what's called medical nutrition therapy. Okay. That's basically how people can modify their food choices so that way they can reach their nutrition goals and heal themselves and maybe not have to take medication. So we do that for 4 years. When you're finished with your 4 years, and if you get good grades and you're active in your college, you know, in the college, and you show that you are passionate, you do experience, and you know, I volunteered in hospitals and got as much experience as I could. I was on clubs. Once you get, you know, then you have to apply to your internship. So you could go 4 years with the goal to be a registered dietitian, but then when you go to apply for the internship, only 50% actually get a match.
Wow.
So you might not even be able to become one. I mean, you can then try again. There's other ways to go around it, but once then you do your internship, you get accepted to that internship. Your internship is 1,200 hours of service in a bunch of different settings, hospitals, nursing homes, community. And then when you complete that, you have to sit for an exam and you take your exam. I just so happened to do my master's with my internship together. I was in an accelerated program, so that way I didn't have to do school ever again. I was like, all the school. I know I want my master's. If I want to get my doctorate, I'll wait for that. Like, I'm not doing that right now. I need to get this over with. So I chose that path. But everyone's different. But yeah, it's a lot of schooling to be a dietitian.
Yeah, so I actually didn't know that. Like, I thought, for whatever reason, I thought that like a nutritionist was also a kind of protected title. I thought there was a difference in education levels, but I guess it sounds like nutritionist is almost sadly kind of similar to personal training, where almost anyone can consider themselves a trainer. I guess you do have to get certified, but the certifying bodies vary so much that you could go to a certifying body that you're practically getting a master's in exercise science, and then you can get certification programs that are, you know, it's like you read a book over a course of a weekend and then you take a test and you're a certified trainer. So it sounds like,
yeah. Exactly.
An important difference that a lot of people, I don't think, understand.
I think, you know, a lot of people are just so anxious to get help. They think that, like, they see someone that knows how to do it, so therefore they can teach them how to do it. But that's not always the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm amazed at the amount of medical advice people ask me for and nutrition advice that people ask me for. It's like Monday, even I teach a class at Hunter College, a group fitness class, and it's for faculty and staff, and they're it's like a regular, like a kind of strength training 101. So they're learning the ropes of the gym. But a woman came in, she's like, yeah, I'm doing physical therapy and seeing somebody else for my knee. I have no cartilage in my knee. I can't do anything for my knee. It's like, all right, well, we can modify things, but you know, a lot of this class involves legs. But but she then started asking me like what she could and couldn't do for her knee. And I kept having to say, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional.
Correct.
You should, even if I gave you advice, you should not listen to my advice because I'm not qualified to give that. But people, if you have any kind of title, you're right, like they will seek out attention, and that it's like ripe for people to take advantage of it, as I'm sure you've probably experienced.
Yeah.
With experienced people who have been taken advantage of by other kind of professionals, yeah, so-called professionals.
I respect you for kind of letting them know that I have to do that in my profession. You know, people, like I was saying before, they want help. They're so desperate for answers. A lot of times people will come to me for nutrition, but there's usually an underlying source.
Sure.
So people get really emotional and tears fly. And I have to remind them, like, I'm not a social worker. I'm not a therapist. I can help and provide you that service, but we need to focus on your nutrition goals. And you really have to bring it back to them. And I think that you'd be doing them a disservice if you did provide them with recommendations, because you don't know. Yeah. And you think you're helping them, but you're actually hurting them.
Yeah, no, it's very common. So often I'll see people that will give the advice or whether they want to or not, like almost they feel obligated to. But yeah, for me, it's like, I know one of the best pieces of advice I was ever given when I started as a trainer was like, know what you know, but know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And like know when to refer. So that's also as part of the podcast why we don't talk nutrition much between Justin and I, because we're not experts. So anything we talk about, it's got to be very basic, because otherwise we're doing a disservice to our own listeners.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So really, a nutritionist is nothing.
You don't know that.
It means nothing. It's like calling yourself a nothing. Nutritionist. Not a dietitian. It's a nutritionist. Means nothing. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like a word that means nothing.
You know, I'm just not going to. I try to keep everything positive. Yeah.
Sometimes it's best just to ignore Justin.
He's keeping it real. We need that in this world. Oh, boy.
Anyhow, so, well, speaking of keeping it real, a big part of your plan and your program is what you call SMART goals with, you know, the capital SMART. Can you tell us what your SMART goals are and how it helps people with really maintaining a diet that works, and is sustainable?
Yeah. So the first thing that I tell my clients right off the bat is, like, they'll come into my office, I want to lose 50 pounds in a month. And I'll just, right away, I'm just like, okay, I understand and I hear that you want to lose this weight, but let's set the ground rules first. Let's kind of get a better understanding of what your goals are and how can we actually make them achievable and stay long term. Because if you want me to help you to lose 50 pounds in a month, I can, but I can't promise that you're going to keep that off. And I would never really want someone to do that because it's not healthy. Rapid weight loss usually comes from the muscle, as you guys probably know. So what I have people do is I have them tell me their goals, and then we go through and make sure that they're SMART. SMART is an acronym for S, specific, M, measurable, A, attainable, R, realistic, and T, total body. So what that means is if it's going to take you, lack of sleep, time away from your family and friends, you can't go out on the weekends and be social for the rest of your life to achieve a weight loss goal, is that really a total body? Is that healthy? we put it into perspective for the person. So I really try to, let people understand that, it's not a race. Slower is actually better because it's all about forming habits, and that takes time. I work with a lot of people that are postmenopausal or, they just had a heart attack at the age of 50. And it's like 50, you made these habits over 50 years. You're not going to defeat them in a day or so. It's not going to take another 50 years because you're actively working on it. Whereas before it was like subconscious. But it's going to take time.
And it's something that no one wants to hear.
Like
patience is patience is a virtue, but it's a lost virtue. So few people want to hear, it's going to take some time. In almost any any facet of life, no one wants to hear that. No. We all want quick results.
No, but I mean, a lot of times what I do with my clients is I put it into perspective, and I use something outside other than food and nutrition, sure. And, you know, weight management. And I think about, like, okay, if you're in debt, you can't, like, unless, like, how are you possibly going to get out of debt, like, overnight? You're going to win the lottery? You like, your chances of that are slim to none. Exactly. So you have to come up with a plan. You have to be specific, and you have to be consistent. Because you could, if you're trying to get out of debt, you can save money for a year and then you blow it and there you're right back to square one. Yeah. So I try to, like, put it in, you know, give people another side, another viewpoint.
That's great. It's very Jim Witsian, your methods. We're all about planning and consistency. And I always say every workout, every healthy meal is money put in your health bank.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it adds up over time. And it's kind of what you were saying with the whole being in debt, right?
Yeah.
Being in health debt.
Yeah, it's absolutely. A good term. Yeah, that's I like that term. We should use that. Health debt. Yeah, I mean, like, medication is really expensive. Insurance is really expensive. Co-payments. It's
do you really want to take medication if you don't have to?
Right. Oh, well. And then, the side effects that come along with it. So it really, your health is an investment for sure.
And how do you apply, like, the SMART goals to your clients? Like, how do you use them, you know, once you've kind of explained to them, mm-hmm. why it's important, how are you able to kind of apply it so that they're able to be successful?
So we write it down. I write it down so that way I can follow up when mm-hmm. I have the follow up appointment with them. So I know where we left off. I make sure we update them as we go. So that way I ask what worked, what didn't work, what do we have to change? And I have them write them down, because when you write down a goal, you're more likely to stick to it. And then as we're writing it down together, we make sure it makes sense. So I have, okay, someone's trying to eat more fruit. Okay. You can't just put down, I'm going to eat more fruit. You're not going to get that goal. How are you going to eat more fruit? Okay, more fruit is what? 3 pieces of fruit a day. When are you going to have those fruits? With breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What types of fruit? Some people don't like half the fruit that's out there. So for me to have them eat strawberries and bananas when they can't stand the taste of them, that's not a realistic goal. So, okay, what fruits do you like? What fruits are in your reach? When can you go to the grocery store? Like, are they in season right now? Do they taste good? Do you have time to get it? Or is it best to just keep frozen fruit and make a smoothie? Like, what's the most realistic way to apply that? And that's just number one. That's being specific. So if you think about, then we do a measurable. Okay, so how are we going to assess if this works? When you come back, we're going to see, did you hit it or did you not? Is this attainable? Yes, no. Is it realistic? Is this healthy? Yes. And then that's how kind of we do it with each one that they set for themselves. Some people, we do one goal at a time. Other people want to do 2. It's really up to the person what they're ready for. And I really try to let them know that it's a process. So even though it seems like you're only working on fruit, how am I ever going to get to my goals if I'm only working on fruit? I let them know that we're going to update it, and you have to be patient. And I promise you that, believe it or not, I think the biggest thing that people are always in shock about is, like, I barely did anything and I still lost weight. And I'm not being like the people on social media, like on, you know, on the news saying you don't have to do anything. You have to do something, but it doesn't have to be extreme. A little bit goes a long way, but it goes back to what you were saying before, is that consistency. Mm-hmm. You have to do it for more than a week. It's mm-hmm. going to work, but you have to trust the process.
So I guess 2 questions. What do you say to the person that does want the fast? Like, how do you convince, mm-hmm. how do you take somebody who in their mind, they want the fast results? How do you convince them to slow it down and, mm-hmm. but do it in a way that they're still excited about it?
Right.
And then I guess the second part would be, how do you keep somebody motivated knowing, like, we all know people are excited when they start and then that drifts. So I guess they kind of both kind of fall into each other, but how do you keep someone going after those first couple weeks when the excitement starts to wane?
Yeah. So, well, to answer your first question about someone who really wants that quick fix, I usually ask them, what have they done in the past? Mm-hmm. And then I ask them, what was the results? And the answer usually is, I lost 20 pounds and then I gained back 30. Mm-hmm. So then I say, okay, so do we want to try a different approach? I really have them kind of tell me what they think might work, what didn't work, and kind of hope that they see. And then I'll meet them in the middle. I'll say, okay, you know, right now you want quick results. I can give you something that's going to expedite the matters, but you have to promise me that we try it. And when we come back, we start to work in the realistic ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you give them the freedom, they respect that. They appreciate that. And then they really start to kind of think about what you said. And then they're kind of more ready the second time. Mm-hmm. And then to kind of keep them motivated, it depends on my client. Yeah. I have a lot of different outlets of the way I work with people. And a lot of them, I kind of do the small goals and then the big goals. As they reach the small goals, it gives them that confidence and therefore they want to continue. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it takes that tough love, mm-hmm. that, you know, and you can't always develop that relationship with all of your clients, but I've been fortunate enough where I work with people for a year or so now where I'm at where they're actually consistent. So I'm really just the kind of that person that when they fall off track, they call me and I get them back on track. It's like, they know I'm their support system. They don't depend on me, but they know that my door is always open. They can always give me a call and I can give them a plan to get back on track and to put that focus back. Because I think sometimes people think they did so bad, and I kind of reassure them, like, the fact that you called me is wonderful, first of all. And second of all, okay, you did, but you can continue doing this bad for another week and then continue to feel bad about yourself, or we can get back on track right now. And so I can only really help them if they reach out to me. Yeah. Other than that, I always do support my clients in any way that I can.
So I probably know the answer, but do you find you're more successful with people that are where you're more hands on and more involved, or when you're kind of more hands off and less involved in their program and their day to day or week to week or month to month?
I imagine a lot of that has to do with the individual. Yes. But I think I know the answer to this one as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, it usually is in the individual. Some people don't want me to, like, contact them every day. Other people need me to every day. Yeah. And I kind of feel that out. But I also have learned through this process that a lot of people don't want to admit that they need help. So sometimes I am there for them. Even if they don't respond to me, I'll send them like a quick quote or something, you know, that keeps them motivated. I'll send them a reminder, like, make sure you drink your water today. And they do appreciate that, because I'll get like a text like a couple days, I'm sorry, I was really busy, but that really helped me out. Like, so I don't get discouraged if I don't get a response. I know that I'm helping them. And I know that sometimes people don't want to always reach out for help when they need it.
So when I work with a new client, and it kind of went over it, but when I like working with a new client, a lot of it's like, I feel like I have to interview them, mm-hmm. and gather information, yeah. before I figure out how I'm going to approach the person. So do you find that you have to do that more, or do you kind of have a plan that you stick to when you're doing that initial kind of consultation with a client?
No, I interview, like, I always explain to the person, I say, this is for me to get to know you. At the end, you can plenty of time to ask me questions to get to know me, but I really need to understand you and your lifestyle so we can set those realistic goals. So I ask everything about, you know, their gym, their work life. Like, are they working from home? Do they commute to work? What's their past medical history? Like, obviously we'll talk about their medical history. Like, you know, so they come to me for weight loss and it's like, well, when was the last time you went to the doctor? Did you get blood work done? How's your blood work? They're, you know, everything's fine. Then I'll ask, well, does your mom or your dad have anything? And like, oh yeah, my dad has diabetes. I was like, okay, so let me know what your, we won't get too like labby, but like your hemoglobin A1C, which dictates if you have diabetes or not, or if you're pre-diabetic, what was that number? And then they tell me and I'm like, okay, so we actually have to watch that. Cause unfortunately, sometimes the doctors don't do the best job explaining. And I respect a lot of doctors, but I think that they don't really like to have that conversation. So I kind of find myself in that position to really help them understand that, okay, the reason why we're doing this is not just because you want to look good and you want to feel good, but it's because you are more at risk for getting that illness. So we need to be more proactive and work towards preventing that. Because that working towards preventing diabetes is going to be different than working towards preventing heart disease. Like, there are going to be different ways we're going to go about it.
So now, a huge thing that the GymWits are, what we're really all about it is debunking the myths and the misconceptions And of course, whenever you have a field or topic where there's so much information, there's also a lot of misinformation. And just as in the fitness world, in the nutrition and health world, I'm sure there are so many misconceptions or at least bits of information that do not apply to everyone or bits of information that are taken out of context mm-hmm. and used in order to sell a product or a service or something like that. So could you just tell us about some big misconceptions
sure.
in sort of the health, and nutrition industry?
Yeah. I mean, the first one that comes to mind, I mean, especially with the fitness world and just overall exercises, people are so afraid of carbohydrates. And I really need to always kind of put it into perspective that carbohydrates are what give you energy. If you don't have carbohydrates in the diet, you are going to be miserable.
Sure. And I've been through that and I was miserable.
Yeah. Like they give your brain energy. They keep you attentive. However, with that being said, what sources are your carbohydrates? I can't tell you how many people tell me they don't eat fruit because it's sugar. It's like, the sugar in fruit is natural. There's fiber. It's a low calorie food. There's usually high water content. Like you don't have to be worried about the sugar in fruit, once again, I'm sure there's going to, maybe that was the one person that I would have to limit it to whatever reason, but majority of people can eat fruit. It's more of like restricting your carbohydrates from things that are refined carbohydrates that have we call empty calories, no nutritional value. Soda, candy, cakes and cookies and white bread and white toast and white rice. I mean, they can fit in the diet, but they really shouldn't take up a majority of your diet. So I think it's about taking what people say and kind of explaining the reason why behind it, rather than just telling them, no, that's not true, or yes, that's true. So I usually find myself not just saying like, yes, you can have fruit, but explaining why you can have fruit. It's a great source of carbohydrates. It will give your body energy, but you won't feel that like sugar high and crash. You'll get a lot of nutrition like vitamin C, vitamin A, antioxidants that prevent disease. Like, and I'll go on and on, whatever I need to in order to get them to understand that it's okay to have fruit, but they should limit their other sources of carbohydrates.
No, to some extent, there's a difference between with the glycemic index of certain fruits. But you'll hear some people say that like pineapples are bad to have, mm-hmm. but bananas are good or apples mm-hmm. are great, but you shouldn't. Like, does it really matter which type of fruits you're having?
That's a great question. Actually, I have a YouTube channel, and I actually have a whole show about like busting the myths of fad diets. And one of the questions that I addressed was someone had told, they're like, I hear bananas are bad for me. Should I avoid bananas? And my first response it was obviously no. And then I explained why. The thing is like different fruits tend to have are different sizes, and bananas tend to be much larger, so therefore they do have more carbohydrates, but it's still a great source of carbohydrates unless you are, so someone who's diabetic, and that we can do on another show, they don't even have to avoid carbohydrates, but they do have to count their carbohydrates, so that way it can either go in with their insulin or control their blood sugars if they're taking something like metformin, so there's a total difference per person, but no, all fruits do have different properties though. So for example, a banana is very high in potassium, where you're going to have an orange, which is high in vitamin C, and it has a little bit of potassium, but you're going to get a better source from a banana. So if you're an athlete trying to replenish your electrolytes, bananas and oranges might be a better choice versus like an apple that is more vitamin C rich and doesn't have as much potassium. Like, but really it's still fruit, so eat it.
Yeah.
Now, how about fat? Now, that's mm-hmm. I know that in the 90s, there was this big war on fat. And I always knew, I was like, you know what? Something doesn't sound right. I know that fat sounds bad because of the name of fat. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about fat and the whole deal? And I was, and another thing is, and I just knew it. And same with cholesterol, mm-hmm. right? I always knew, like, I'm looking at eggs, and there was sort of eggs, or you don't want to eat too many eggs. I'm like, really? I've always thought eggs are one of the most nutritional thing, you could eat, mm-hmm. nutrient rich. So what's the deal with fat?
Okay, so great question. Fat, very similar to carbohydrates. There's good sources and there's bad sources. So you want to make sure that a majority of what you're consuming are from what's called unsaturated fats. So those are natural, usually plant-based sources like avocado and olive oil and nuts and seeds. And they're going to have your unsaturated fats, which if you think about the way that our blood flows through the body, I'm going to get a little bit more visual for you guys, so pay attention. So you think about your blood flowing through the body, right? And now you drink something like olive oil, or you put olive oil in a salad. It is the same fluid motion of the blood, so therefore it's going to be a healthy source of fat. However, now think about something like butter in a solid form. It's saturated fat. So you consume that and it will clot the blood. And that's how people end up too much of it. You get a plaque buildup, and therefore you're at greater risk for heart disease and high cholesterol. So now kind of going to your cholesterol question, it's not cholesterol in food that raises cholesterol in the body. It's saturated fat that raises cholesterol in the body.
Also, that sugar can really affect it as well.
Yes. So simple sugars, like we were saying before, simple carbohydrates won't just affect your blood sugars, but it'll actually affect the types of fat. It's called your triglycerides. It's part of the bad cholesterol. So when you go for your annual blood work, you should be getting a lipid panel where you're going to get your total cholesterol, which you're going to get your LDL, your bad, your lousy cholesterol, which you don't want to be high. You're going to get your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, which is saying that you're doing things like exercising and consuming those heart healthy unsaturated fats. And then you're going to get your triglycerides, which usually become elevated through excess simple carbohydrates and alcohol, actually. So too much alcohol will raise your triglycerides.
Any other foods that maybe had a bad rap that people thought were unhealthy but are actually really healthy? And what are some other, how about some meats or proteins that really should be incorporated in people's diet? I know people talk a lot about fish, especially, you know, the good salmon or something like that. Is that, you know, is that true? Or what are some good foods, and what are some other, you know, foods that people should consume?
Yeah. So I'm glad that you asked me about the food that had a bad rap that has a good one now, and that is the egg that I meant to address that. So studies in the past have shown, you know, registered dietitians go based off of medical nutrition therapy. So medical nutrition therapy is based off of science and scientific evidence that's been proven again and again and again. So in the past, science has shown cholesterol raised cholesterol, but now new science is showing that it's saturated fat that raises cholesterol. So people would fear the egg yolk because it has almost 200 milligrams of cholesterol, which is your maximum for the whole day, which used to be the recommendations. But now we're kind of debunking that, and it's going to take a while. So I do apologize for everyone. You might read something and it'll still say something about eggs being bad, but they're not. Eggs are great because they're a great source of vitamin D, which a lot of people are lacking, especially in New York, because of the lack of sun. And then vitamin B12, which is really great to help convert all those nutrients in your body to usable sources. So the egg yolks used to have a bad rap, but they're wonderful. So keep eating eggs. They're a great source of protein. And then fish is a wonderful source of protein. And they have what are called omega-3s. Omega-3s are part of the unsaturated fats that are going to support heart health. So the American Heart Association recommends that an individual to support a healthy heart has about 2 servings of fish per week. And a serving would be probably about like the size of your hand, like a palm-sized piece of protein. So like a palm-sized piece of salmon, a palm-sized piece of, tilapia. But once again, making sure that you use healthy cooking method, right? If you take that fish and you fry it, are you actually going to get all those benefits with it? Not as much. Let's say you'll get them, but it's not going to be as much as if you bake, grilled, or broiled that fish.
So what about the all bacon and ice cream diet?
Oh, boy. Not going to work. I get a lot of times where it's like, I know that I can lose weight if I just eat less. And that's true. You have to remember that it is calories in, calories out. But, you know, how are you going to feel if you only 500 calories of bacon and ice cream? Yeah. First of all, that portion's going to be real small. Yeah. So if you can survive on like 500 calories of bacon and ice cream, you're basically getting like 2 pieces of bacon and like a half a cup of ice cream. And that's your whole that's as much you need for the day. So you're not going to feel good. And then at the end of the day, like, are you getting your fruits and your vegetables and your whole grains, your antioxidants, like all those foods that are going to prevent you from getting sick, you know?
And this is probably a discussion for another time, but I also find that the people that do, they'll eat, let's say, the bacon and ice cream diet and then do a vitamin supplement, like, that's not enough, right? Like, you should be getting it from the source. And
right. Yeah. Right. You want to try to get it through food first.
Yeah.
So I recommend that to my clients and my patients all the time. You want to get nutrition from the food first. If you go and you get your blood work done and it comes back that you are deficient in a vitamin or a nutrient, therefore your doctor might prescribe or to tell you to supplement, then you supplement.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. But you could also then also too, like, if you know, and a lot of Americans are really, really seriously, I've been seeing it more and more in my office, because I think they're finally testing for more, are vitamin D deficient. Mm-hmm. So yes, you should take a vitamin D supplement. How much, we still don't know the recommended dosage, but the doctor can help you adjust that to help your vitamin D levels get up. But at the same time, let's work together and improve your sources of vitamin D through food, so then you don't have to take a supplement.
Yeah. So when you have let's say we have a listener who's trying to turn things around, they're struggling, as many people do. What would be a couple, like, if you can give one or two, like, solid tips for somebody to help them kind of start to turn things around for their diet?
Mm-hmm. Because it's, everyone's so different. But, I mean, I think number one is, are you eating 3 meals a day? I know a lot of people skip meals. And that's never good, because you don't have enough opportunity to eat the nutrients you need. And then you usually get so hungry that you end up craving things like salt, sugar, and fat, which should be, or, you know, the bad sugar and the bad fat, that you really should be limiting in the diet. So therefore you're not having a balanced meal. So, I usually just tell them to eat 3 meals a day. And then secondly, I don't even know if this is really a tip. It's more a strategy. I'll tell them to write down their food, because so many people are just not conscious of what they're eating. And once you bring that awareness, then they do a lot of the changes. They see what they need to work on. A lot of us know we need to be eating more fruits and vegetables. A lot of us know we should be drinking more water. A lot of us know we should be having 3 meals a day, but a lot of us aren't doing it. So why? And you have to be able to put it down on paper to see what your usual habits are before you can really do anything after that.
Awesome. Tony, you are amazing. You have this incredible wealth of knowledge, and I think you fit in so awesomely with the whole, you know, Jim Witsian way of thinking.
Are you sure you still want a girl on your team?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have to change your logo.
Yeah. One more, of course. It's perfect. Tony, please let us know where we can find you. I know you have a YouTube channel. Yeah. Let us know about that stuff. Where can we find you online?
Sure. So my website is www.tipswithtony, Tony with an I, TONI.com. On there you get my recipes, you can have my links to my YouTube channel, my services, all that stuff. And then I also have an Instagram account at tips_with_Tony, once again, TONI. I have a Facebook page, Tips with Tony. I have a Twitter account, Tips with Tony. I think even if you Google Tips with Tony, I'll pop up. Like, I've been doing this since college. I love what I do. I love helping people, and I'm so happy that I finally have had my blog grow. So I think you'll be able to find me through one of those sources.
Great. And so it's been great. And we will have, for our listeners, we'll have Tony back on in a few weeks. So if you have questions, just like we do the Ask the Trainer segment, we'll do the Ask the Dietitian for next time. So if you have questions, please send them in. You can send them to, what's your email?
tipswithtony@yahoo.com.
So you can send it to Tony, or you can send it to us at thegymwits@gmail.com. So either way, if you have questions, definitely send them, and we'll try to get some of them, a few of them answered on the next podcast.
Well, so I'm really excited. I think that Tony, you're going to bring us some awesome information and really be really excellent and a really big help for our listeners. You know, this is sort of the big thing that we are lacking. We are not registered dietitians, so your knowledge is going to be.
We can now say we're nutritionists.
Yes, we are nutritionists. we are nutritionists. We're just not registered dietitians. So, Tony, thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm looking so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, yeah, everyone, write in, you know, write your questions, and I'm sure Tony is going to do an incredible job in answering them.
All right, so as usual, you can find all of our stuff at thegymwits@gmail.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, rate us there. If you listen to us on Stitcher, rate us there. Download the app if you haven't yet. We're on iTunes and Android. And that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
I'm Tony Marinucci, a.k.a. Tips with Tony.
And we are
the Gymwits.